It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin's workers' compensation system will have expanded benefits and coverage under a new bill signed into law by Governor Tony Evers last week.
The bipartisan legislation was a product of the state's Workers' Compensation Advisory Council, which was assembled by the Department of Workforce Development to represent the interests of labor management and the insurance industry in Wisconsin.
We're learning more about the changes to the system and what impact they could have on workers, employers, and insurers in the state.
Amy Pahacek is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, which oversees the state's workers' compensation system. Secretary Pahacek, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we get into these changes, let's do a little workers' comp 101. I think pretty much people have a sense of what it is, but what is workers' compensation? Who does it affect?
So workers' compensation is the law in Wisconsin that governs what happens when an employee is injured during the course and scope of their employment. So this law protects everybody who's deemed to be an employee. And fun fact, Rob, Wisconsin was the first state in the nation to pass a constitutionally valid workers' compensation law all the way back in 1911. And what this did was make the law, it made it no fault so that if an individual was injured, they had access to wage benefits and medical care that the employer would pay. And it would not require a lengthy circuit court lawsuit where negligence would be the standard, which often meant that employees would go months and months and employers would pay lots of money in legal fees to determine whether or not they were going to be liable to cover the injury.
With these changes, it's interesting to me. There was a process kind of before it hit the legislature. The Workers' Compensation Advisory Council came to some compromises to suggest these changes. Tell us a little bit about the process that got us to the changes we're talking about today.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Workers' Comp Advisory Council began with the creation of the workers' compensation law all the way back in 1911, but was codified into law as a formal practice in 1967. And this council, has representatives from both management, so the employer side, as well as labor, so the employee side. And there are representatives that sit on the council but don't vote from the insurance industry. And there are department representatives from the Department of Workforce Development, which is the state agency that oversees all of the workers' compensation rules and procedures and laws here in the state of Wisconsin. And the reason the council was developed is that it provides stability and predictability to the workforce. You know, workers' compensation is a complex benefit system. There are lots of rules, and it's important to make sure that any changes to the law have been vetted and researched, and that the bills and the laws that govern this crucial aspect of sort of the grand bargain, as workers' compensation is called by many people who practice, it are not subject to the political whims of a changing executive branch or a changing legislative branch, and so that it can be sustainable and predictable. And so you have your management reps and your labor reps, and each group introduces proposed changes, and they negotiate. They have research done by the legal teams here about the impact. There are, research done with respect to how it will financially impact, how many people it's projected to impact with respect to the type of injuries we see here in the state. And they negotiate. And basically, if both sides agree on changes, that is then introduced under what is called the agreed upon bill. And that's introduced to the legislature, who will then either pass it or potentially make additional changes on the legislative floor. And then it's sent to the governor. And again, that just keeps it very predictable, very stable, and really keeps this critical piece of legislation that protects employees and employers safe from sort of whiplash and back and forth political whim.
So now with this new legislation, we have kind of a laundry list of changes here. I want to go through what people see, I think, as some of the high points here, some of the major changes. One, an increase in the maximum weekly compensation rate. What changed there?
Yes, absolutely. So the benefit increases will take effect for people who are injured in the course and scope of their employment on April 1st or after that date, because that is when the governor signed this into law. And what we see is an increase from the previous maximum benefit rate of $362 a week up to $454. And there is also a set increase to go into effect on January 1st, 2027, that will take that weekly benefit maximum up to 462. There were additional increases negotiated and passed for supplemental benefits. For these are folks who have been permanently disabled for many, many years and receive supplemental checks as part of their weekly benefit rate, and those will also go up. So that is good. We know that the cost of living continues to rise, and typically we don't see the benefit rates keeping up with things like inflation, but certainly these increases do make an impact.
Another change has to do with emergency medical responders, volunteer and part-time firefighters, and others when it comes to post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. What was the change there and what was the thinking behind it?
Yes. So coverage for post-traumatic stress disorder was first introduced in Wisconsin for full-time firefighters and law enforcement in 2021. Previous to that, it was really deemed not a compensable injury, but we know that mental health is very serious and our first responders are facing some of the most stressful situations and really can suffer from being exposed to these situations day in and day out. And so the act that was signed into law on April 1st expands that coverage to also include post-traumatic stress disorder claims for part-time and volunteer firefighters, as well as emergency medical responders and practitioners. So all kinds of folks who actually go and, respond to these very sort of stressful types of emergency situations will now have access to this coverage if they need it.
Those struck me as a couple of the main points. There's a longer list. What were some of the other key changes as you see it?
Yeah, Rob. So I think there's another pretty important change and update to the law as it relates to who can diagnose the nature and extent of work injuries. So there were a lot of restrictions on having medical degrees and being an actual medical doctor when opining on the compensability and nature and extent of injuries. And now other medical practitioners have been recognized as having the ability to have opinions that will be honored through the claims and the administrative law judge practice, which are physician assistants, advanced practice nurses, and audiologists. And we know that with healthcare worker shortages, many injured workers are treating primarily with physician assistants or advanced practice nurses, or if you have a hearing loss claim, an audiologist. So this is just one less barrier for our injured workers here in the state of Wisconsin to get timely medical diagnosis information that will be recognized under the statute.
And finally, people listening might say, I'm an employer or I'm an employee who's maybe receiving workers' compensation. Do they need to do anything different now that these bills are in effect? Do people need to take action to change the way they handle workers' compensation right now?
No, Rob, absolutely not. In fact, the best advice I would give any employee who is injured in the course and scope of their employment is just to immediately report that injury to their supervisor. And that starts the ball rolling with all of the statutory requirements that that employer has then to ensure that employee is, treated under the rules and regulations of the act.
Secretary Pahacek, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Amy Pahacek is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. She was with us today to share changes to the state's workers' compensation system in a new bill signed into law by Governor Evers. Now we're taking a closer look at how these changes compare to other states and what impact they could have on employers in Wisconsin. Susan Barranco is a workers' compensation attorney and founder of Barranco Legal in Wauwatosa. Sue, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Rob.
What stands out to you as the most significant changes in the legislation that just passed?
You know, the headlines seem to be about, you know, necessary rate increases and the expanded PTSD coverage for certain mental health claims. But as a practitioner kind of swimming in these seas daily, what stands out to me really are the procedural changes in the bill.
Right. And those, I got to say, they can be a little wonky and head spinning. Spell it out for us in ways that I can understand, please.
Sure. Well, there's a couple of things that as practitioners, we were paying close attention to. And one of them was the way in which our process was used to our hearing applications were used to extend the shelf life of a worker compensation claim. We have one of the longest statutes of limitations in the country at 6 years from the injury date or the last payment of indemnity, or 12 years in the case of an occupational disease. And what was happening in practice was that right at the conclusion of the clock, when the buzzer was about to go off, a hearing application would be filed to sort of artificially extend the shelf life of that claim. And so, you know, the workers' compensation system, as the secretary explained, is about predictability for employers and carriers. And what that did was kind of inject some chaos in the sense that you could have a means by which to prolong the life of a claim. So that on the employer and carrier side is very helpful, is that they've sort of shut the door on that statute of limitations hearing application tolling game. And, you know, in exchange on the side of the employee, total shoulder replacement cases now have no claim limitations. And that's similar to how a total knee replacement is treated. For instance, when a prosthetic is put in, an employee might need care for the rest of their life. And that's sort of acknowledged now for shoulders in addition to knees. So that was one big procedural change that was kind of welcome on both sides.
And it's interesting, you work with employers and insurance carriers a lot on this, but the process of, hey, people on that side are at the table, people on the employee side are at the table, we do some, I guess, a little bit of horse trading to try to come up with a system that's predictable for everybody. Do you think in general we get pretty good results from that system?
I do. I think that the advisory council system, it's a really special part of workers' compensation, because we're the goal there is just that we're not supposed to blow with the political winds. You know, we have people from all stakeholders on both sides that have input into the legislation. And one thing with this particular bill, it went through basically unscathed from the agreed bill that came out of the advisory council. And what's nice about that is that the people that are specialists in this area are giving the legislature the recommendations they need and being very responsive to the system. So you'll see a lot of legislative changes in Wisconsin that directly follow problems that are created in cases or identified through the fact patterns that work their way through the system. And we just have a real sharp system in that sense that we can be responsive to the needs of our of workers' compensation, with the experts kind of driving things. And the legislature typically takes those recommendations, we'll say. And so it's helpful because it becomes less political.
Another change that I wanted to ask you about, I'm going to read from the governor's press release on this. The bill prohibits the, I'm quoting here, stacking of permanent partial disability ratings for repeated surgical procedures on the same limb, and provides that healthcare providers shall determine a permanent disability rating. So can you untangle that for us? What, in effect, does that mean?
Yes, of course. We're coming right off of March Madness. So this stacking, we're not stacking up at the, you know, at the sideline here. This is basically, it's a way of aggregating permanent partial disability ratings, which in Wisconsin, or in most work comp systems, it's sort of like the damages of work comp. You know, we don't have pain and suffering like you would in a tort case. What you do is, it's almost, this harkens back to like the era where, you know, like of piracy, where you lose your arm and you get a certain bounty for that. Well, it's the same in Wisconsin. You know, if you have a loss of your arm or your leg, you get a scheduled benefit according to that. And the administrative code in Wisconsin sets out certain minimums that apply in the case of regulatory minimum procedures for surgeries like meniscectomies or an ACL reconstruction or a total knee replacement or a fusion in your lumbar or cervical spine. And so these minimum ratings would apply in a case where you have that surgery, you get that minimum PPD rating. And the question was always, well, after the same injury, if you have that surgery more than once, do they stack together? Do they aggregate? Or how should those be treated? And the Wisconsin Supreme Court, in a case called Daimler-Chrysler, had ruled that these ratings do aggregate, or at least the commission's reading of the statutes to allow that was appropriate. And here, the advisory council and the legislature tried to sort of walk that back or abrogate it. The way I read it is that they didn't go quite as far as kind of the headline suggests. You know, a lot of people are just saying flat out that stacking is overruled, that you can't stack together these two ratings to get after one injury. But the phrase that you just read, the same surgical procedure after the same injury, that's going to become the big question. You know, is a meniscectomy the same surgical procedure as a total knee replacement, or can those still be stacked? So I think that we'll just say that the statute tries very hard to close the door, but there's still a crack there. So there might be a little bit of litigation surrounding that stacking issue.
And as we heard from Secretary Pahacek, the bill also strengthens enforcement provisions for employers who fail to maintain required workers' compensation insurance or who try to misclassify employees to reduce premiums. With that in mind, what is your message to employers to stay on the right side of Wisconsin law when it comes to how they handle their workers' compensation insurance and reporting?
I think you just have to be as transparent as possible. You know, your insurer is now under an obligation to report anything suspicious to the department. The language really is about misclassification for the purposes of reducing a premium, which may set kind of a higher bar for the insurer because they don't necessarily know the purpose behind the misclassification. But at the same time, you know, obviously you need to be transparent, not play games, and recognize that insurance fraud occurs on both sides. You know, everybody is concerned about fraud in this no-fault system. And so employers just need to be cognizant that their carriers are going to be closely looking at this because now they have not only a reporting, but an investigative obligation through this new act.
And Sue, as we wrap up, are there any common misconceptions about the state's workers' compensation system that you run into in your work?
Common misconceptions in workers' compensation. I think that people don't understand the purposes to make the worker whole. I think that sometimes the litigious nature of society writ large can kind of leak in, and people see commercials that give them the idea that a lawsuit is going to put them in a position that it does not. You know, and here we're dealing with people who, you know, they're going through one of the most challenging experiences of their life, and the law is intended to sort of put them back on their feet, but it doesn't create a windfall by any stretch. The benefits are there and available for people who definitely need them. And so I think one of the main misconceptions we see is where people just sort of misunderstand the extent of the benefits that are available.
Sue, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Rob.
Sue Barranco is a workers' compensation attorney and founder of Barranco Legal in Wauwatosa. She was with us today to talk about the impact that changes to Wisconsin's workers' compensation system could have on employers in the state. Earlier, we heard from Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development Secretary Amy Pahacek.